right, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 15. And tonight, for a few moments, we're going to speak on the relevancy of Jeremiah's message. People today are told it's not relevant. And by that, they mean that when they believe in everything, when they say that everything is relevant, they mean that there are no hard and fast rules. And so, therefore, if what you do according to your feelings. And if it feels good, go ahead and do it. And that's why we have all these problems that we have today. Some people, you know, they get the idea, I'd like to kill somebody. Well, go ahead and do it. Remember years ago, I had a preacher speaking to the Junior Honor Society, and he made that statement. He says, when you feel like doing something, he said, do it. And I just about stood up and called his hand in front of the congregation, in front of the audience. And then afterwards, I told him, I said, in other words, according to you, if you feel like killing somebody, you ought to do it. Oh, no, I didn't mean that. I said, well, what did you mean? Well, he couldn't explain it to me. And we find that there are a lot of people today. Everything is relevant. In other words, there's no hard and fast rules. Well, beloved, there are hard and fast rules. God's got a moral law that we have to keep. And if we don't keep it, you can rest assured of one thing. We're going to be in a lot of trouble. Take your Bibles now and turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. And look at me at verses 1 through 15. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, and enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. All ye that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust you not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. If you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment to between his neighbor, and if you press not the strangers, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I trust you, or will I cause you to dwell in this land. In this place, in the land that I gave you to your fathers forever and ever. Let's bow for prayer. Our Lord, tonight, thank you again for this opportunity and privilege that we have of gathering here in thy house. Oh, our Father, search our hearts and forgive us, and help us, Lord, as we look at this portion of the Word of God, that we'll see in it the moral realm for us to walk in circumspectly and before thee. Oh, Lord, don't let us become like the nation of Israel as a church, but instead keep us ever mindful of thy goodness to us, and mindful of the fact that we have a tremendous responsibility unto thee. We pray that thou wilt cause many to listen in on the broadcast as it goes out. And we ask, Lord, speak to hearts as only thou art able. Now forgive us where we have failed thee, and sanctify this service, and Lord, make it acceptable in thy sight. We ask it, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. Our subject tonight, the relevancy of Jeremiah's message. Many today have the idea that the experiences in history, as seen in the Old Testament, are fine, but they're not relevant for today. Nothing could be further from the truth, because the Word of God is always relevant or up to date. Keep that in mind. Today we shall see how true this passage is, and how up to date it is at this very moment. Now our lesson is going to fall into these simple categories. First of all, we're going to look at the grace of God that was extended to Israel. Then secondly, we're going to look at the grievousness of the sin of Israel. And then we find very clearly, we'll see last of all, the gospel of God revealed in this portion of the Word of God. Now let's look at Jeremiah, and we find the grace of God extended to this, or I should say extended to Israel. Now what God did, and he does that every time when he reaches down and delivers a sinner, he claims us for his own. Now turn to Jeremiah chapter 2, if you will. And look at me at verse 13, and see for yourself what it says. Notice it carefully. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now notice that. The Lord said point blank, my people. Now, if you're saved here tonight, we're one of God's people. And God's not going to give us up to anybody. And yet we find our Lord did what? He claimed them for his own people, and our Lord has done the same thing for us, and he verifies it when he reaches down and saves us. Then look again, if you will, at Jeremiah chapter 2 and look at verse 20 and 21. And we see the second thing that the Lord did, and what was this? He redeemed Israel from the house of bondage and blessed them. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 20, surely as a wife... I'm reading Jeremiah 3. All right, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 20. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou hast wandered playing the harlot. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy and a right seed. How then hast thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Now you say, preacher, what more you have here? All right. We see the second thing about Jeremiah, or about Israel, was this. God claimed them for his own. Then the second thing is this. He redeemed them from the house of bondage, and he blessed us. And he blessed them. And then the third thing, he did this. He warned them of their wickedness because of his love to them. Now go back to our text in Jeremiah chapter 7, and look at me at verse 22, down through verse 25. And we find the Word of God says this for our learning. Look at it. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Now there you have, what do you have here? God warned them of their wickedness, and he did that because of his love to them. Now how many times have we heard very clearly, the truth hurts? And it does. But I want to tell you this, as God's people, we got to be truthful. And if the truth hurts, we've got to learn to do one, accept it. Not get angry at it, but if the truth hurts, we have to say, yes, Lord, that's my fault, and I'll take the blame. And if we don't do it, you can rest assured of one thing. We're going to be like the nation of Israel did with regard to Jeremiah. Now, the second thing I want to look at tonight was this, the grievousness of the sin of Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 7, look again, if you will, at verse 4. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, are these. Now, what were they? What was Israel doing? They're doing the same thing a lot of churches are doing at this present hour. They are trusting in lying words. Now, you say, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Well, let me show it to you. Turn to the New Testament, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And look with me at verses 3 and 4. And we find here Timothy was exhorted by the Apostle Paul and charged by God to do what? He was to preach the word. He was to be in season and out of season. And we find very clearly the reason is this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I had a man come some time ago. He made this statement. He said, well, he said, what do we need doctrine for? The Scripture says, that the Word of God says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. He said, what do we need doctrine for? Well, doctrine is a teaching. And I'm going to tell you right now, we need to know the doctrine of God. We need to know the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We need to know the doctrine of the church. We need to know the doctrine of salvation. And we need to know also the doctrine of eschatology, or the last thing. And we find now, what are you talking about? The grievousness of the sin of Israel was this. They were trusting in lying words, and this is in the religious realm. The second thing about them was this. There was a lack of separation manifested. In verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 7, will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after their gods, whom ye know not? And we find, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Well, that's not true. Now, what do you have here? All right, the second thing you have here was this. In the religious realm, they were trusting in lying words. The second thing is this. There was a lack of separation manifest. Now, God still tells us that we are to do what? We are to come out from among them and be separate. And we find that the grace of God, which bringeth salvation to all men, has done this, has appeared unto all men, teaching us that doing what? Denying ungodly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people today don't know. They don't know. And amongst our church people today, there's such a lack of separation that it's not funny. And we find it sickening is what it is. But at the same time, God doesn't like it either. And so we find this was the grievousness of the sin of Israel. And we find they trusted in lying words. There was a lack of separation manifested. And then there was the worship of the false God, which was the Queen of Heaven. In verse 17 and 18 of our text, we read these words. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough, or I should say, knead their dough, and to make what? To make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and so on. And we find out, what in the world are you talking about here? All right, they worship false gods and the Queen of Heaven. You know who the Queen of Heaven is today? It's Mary. The Catholics call her the Queen of Heaven. Where'd they get that? Came back from Babylon, way back yonder in the days of Nimrod. And we find that the Pope that they have at this present hour is a man who does what? He extols the mediatorship of Mary. Well, Mary can't save anybody no more than that bench can say that we're sitting on. And we find very clearly, well, what is it? Well, we see the grievousness of the sin. Israel trusted in lying words. There was a lack of separation. And then we find they were worshiping the false gods and the Queen of Heaven. And then what happened was this. They became worse in their sin than their fathers. And the Lord said that right here in the 7th chapter of Jeremiah. And we find what's happening today in our religious realm. The same thing is taking place. And then we see also, not only did they become worse in their sin than their fathers, but we find also they refused to hear the call of God. They won't listen. And people today won't listen. I've been made to ask myself this question over and over again. Why is it people don't come to Baptist Church in Hilldale? They drive by here all the time. They know we have services. When they drive by, they see the testimony of the cars that are out there. But we find, what is it? They don't mean anything. You know why? Because they're worshiping other gods. But if you talk to them, they'll tell you point blank, yes, I've been saved, and I've been baptized, and I'm a member of the church. But they don't go, and I'll tell you right now, they refuse to hear the call of God, and people aren't going to lead them or cause them to come to the house of God. And we find only God Himself can do that. Now, this is what's taking place in the sin of Israel in the religious realm. But then look again. We find also in the sin of Israel in the moral realm. Now, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 7, look again, if you will, verses 9 and 10. Will you steal and commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense unto Baal and walk after other gods whom you knew not and come and stand before me in the house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all these things? Now, what in the world you have here? Here you have the moral realm of the nation of Israel when Jeremiah was preaching, all right? Now, what were they doing? Breaking the moral law of God. Now, God couched it in the sacrifices of the children to Baal. And what they would do, we find very clearly, they would have an image of their God, and they would have big arms stretched out like that, made usually of cast iron. And then they'd build a fire in that idol, and that fire would get red hot, and those arms out there would become red hot, and they'd throw their children to it. And that's what they called about making the children pass through the fire. And they did that in the realm of religion. Because of the fact, what did they do? They broke the moral law of God in so doing so. But I'll tell you right now, our nation is breaking the moral law of God every year because of the abortion that's going on. And it's wrong. It's as wrong as it can be. And I make no bones about it. And then we find very clearly there was a confusion of faith in their situation because they didn't know which way to turn. And how sad it is. You talk to individuals today and you begin to face them with the reality and they'll tell you, well, I don't know. I don't know if you're right or not. Well, as I said before, we'll say again. If what we say can be backed up by the Word of God, we better believe. If it can't be backed up by the Word of God, then I'm going to tell you right now, We don't have to believe it. And like I brought out this morning, we have the battle against tradition going on at this present time. Then Israel was doing this, not only breaking the moral law of God and the confusion they face in their situation, but then Jeremiah was telling them also they're trusting in lying words. Lying words. How many times are people today led down the Roman road, supposedly to salvation? And then they are told this. Now, don't let anybody tell you that you're not saved. Don't let anybody tell you that. Well, beloved, the devil's never going to tell you that you're not saved. If anybody starts talking to you on the inside about you not being saved, you better rest assured of one thing. That's God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is revealing to the individual, yes, they may be on a false profession, but that false profession isn't going to carry them through eternity. And so what happens when the Spirit of God begins to deal with the heart? One of the first thing that individual is made to question is this, well, what about my so-called salvation? And how many times I've told people, I said, all right, you come forward in a realm of emotion, and I said, you make a profession of faith at night, but in the daylight the next morning, the cold reality faces you. Did you or did you not get to the Lord Jesus? And you see, the children of Israel were doing what? They refused not only to hear the call of God, but they were trusting in lying words. Now, is that going on at this present hour? Yes, it is. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, and let me show it to you. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we find very clearly the Word of God brings this out for our learning. Peter says to us these words. Notice it, if you will. But there were also false prophets. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that a man gets up there and starts preaching the doctrines of grace, and he starts talking about predestination or something like that, and I'll tell you right now, everybody and their brother will rise up in anger against him. You know why? Because of the false teaching of the false prophets that are in our midst at this hour. And we find very clearly, you and I don't have to be afraid of the doctrine of election. You and I don't have to be afraid of the doctrine of predestination. That's all God's work. And how wonderful it is when we go back and realize that when the Lord saved us, all right, He predestinated us to be saved way back yonder before the foundation of the world. And if anything, it ought to put intestinal fortitude in your backbone. And so what do we know? All right, the Lord looked down upon me way back yonder in eternity, and He chose me. And now He's brought me to Christ, well, He's certainly going to keep me, isn't He? And you see, this is what's set forth. But people today aren't doing that. They're trusting in lying words, all right? Now, let's go back. What's the reaction of God to this situation with regard to Israel? Go back to Israel again in Jeremiah chapter 7. And look at me, if you will, for just a moment or two. In Jeremiah chapter 7, you have the reaction of God. In verse 11, we read these words. Notice carefully, Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 11. Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave you to you and to your fathers, as I have done in Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Now, therefore, pray not for this people, neither lift up thy cry in prayer for them, for I will not hear, saith the Lord. And I wonder, and how terrible that is. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? All right, here's the reaction of God concerning this situation. Well, number one, God gave the nation of Israel up to judgment. I'm thankful to say to you tonight, as far as I know, God hasn't given America up yet. But we're not far from it. And why, preacher? Because these are the same things that are taking place in our society at this hour. Israel was given up to judgment and cast out of the sight of God. And when God does that, you can rest assured of one thing. The prayer of His people for healing will not be answered. And oh, how awesome that would be. Because our Lord still says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And beloved, we need that at this present hour. But in Jeremiah, the Lord said prayer for Israel's healing would not be answered, and then the judgment is to be bestowed upon them by the Lord God of heaven Himself. You'll find that in Jeremiah chapter 7, and look again in verse 20. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Now what more you have here? Well, you look here, that's a scorched earth policy, isn't it? You know, back in 1865 and 1864 and 1865, when General Sherman went through and conquered Atlanta, and then from Atlanta, he swung to the sea. And what he did, he burned everything. He used what was called a scorched earth policy. And he burned everything up. And you know, the Germans learned that. And so did the Russians. And in 1941, when Germany invaded Russia, all right, as the armies of Russia were moving back all the time, they were having nothing but a scorched earth. And there were nothing there. Well, where did they get it from? God's Word. Here it was, because this is what God did to the nation of Israel. And I'll tell you right now, He'll do that to every wicked nation when He gives them up unto judgment. Then we find also the ability to hear was taken away from the nation of Israel. Again, verse 25. Notice, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but hardened their heart, or hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee, and thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. And I'll tell you right now, that's exactly what the Lord God of heaven said about the Pharisees. And we see this set forth. What is it? Judgment was to be bestowed upon them by the Lord God of heaven. And when that takes place, God takes away the ability to hear. How wonderful it is that you still have the ability to hear. And some of these things are registered on your mind and on your heart, and I'm glad they are. And it's proof again that the Lord God of heaven is beginning to speak to your heart. And I'll tell you right now, that's a real blessing. It's a real blessing, because you can go to a lot of churches today and people come in and just sit down and they'll stand and they'll sing their songs and they'll sit down and they'll listen to the preacher. And I'll tell you right now, when they walk out, they can't tell you anymore what that preacher said than that bench is sitting on. And the sad thing of it is that when God gives a nation up to judgment, you can rest assured one thing, the ability to hear will be taken away from that nation, that church, or that people. Now this is a grievousness of the sin of Israel. Now I can't let it go without bringing you the third thing, and what is this? The gospel of God that's revealed in this passage. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verses 1 through 7, you have God's call to repentance. And the Lord told him, amend your ways and so on and so forth. It's the call of God to repentance. And we find the crying need in the churches of today and the society of this hour is to hear the call of God to repentance. People of God need to repent. Sinners need to repent. And I'll tell you something else. Leaders need to repent, because this is part of the gospel. The gospel of God is, first of all, a call of God to repentance. Then, the second thing is given there. There's a command by God to do what? Place faith in Him and Him alone. Verse 21. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings under your sacrifices, and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them, in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Now, what do you have here? The second thing you have here is the command of God to put our faith in Him alone. And this is part of the gospel. Now, so many times the gospel is loaded down to a lot of trappings. And so many times people are told to do this and do that. No, sir. God says, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see? And then we find also, we have the third thing. When God does that, He gives us a commission to His people. And what was that? He said, Obey my voice, and it shall be well with you. Oh, how this needs to be proclaimed at this present hour. And in obedience to the voice of God, it means that obedience is more important to the Lord God of heaven than anything else. And the Lord told the Israelites, and He's telling us today, put away every other god that creeps in. And other gods can creep in our lives so quickly that I'll tell you right now, it makes your head swim. You can ask yourself this question. Many times, unconsciously, what do? We're putting our own family ahead of the Lord God of heaven. And you know, when that takes place, it becomes an idol. And God is grieved, and that we need to recognize very clearly that the Lord God of heaven has got to be first in everything. Always keep that in mind. He's got to be first in everything. And then we find also, if we do this, the commendation of God will be made manifest. Israel will dwell in the land, and it will be well with her. Jeremiah chapter 7, and verses 5 through 7, and then verse 23. And then we find also today, the salvation of God will be bestowed upon the obedient. Now someone might say, now preacher, wait a minute. Aren't you talking here about works for salvation? No, it's part of the gospel of God. Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and let me show it to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we find Peter is speaking here to the strangers scattered abroad, and I want you to notice in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, look at what it says. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now look at these words. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. You see here, God will not save a sinner until that sinner is made obedient in God's sight. And only God can do that. But it's part of the gospel of God that we need to preach today. And then we find it is. When it is, we see very clearly, obedience is more important to the Lord God of heaven than anything. And we find when we become obedient unto the Lord, as it was with Israel, God told Israel, He said, you obey my voice and it'll be well with you in this land that I've given you forever. But they didn't do it. They wouldn't listen to it. And we find that the commendation of God would be manifested to Israel, and Israel would dwell in the land, and it will be well with her. And I'll tell you right now, she's in the land right now, but it's still not well with her, is it? And you know why? She's going back in unbelief. The Jews today still don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. But I'll tell you one thing. One of these days there will. And the salvation of God is bestowed upon the obedience. There's a remission of sin. There's peace with God. And then there's no condemnation. And that comes when the Lord God of heaven reaches down and saves us. And then we find, last of all, what do we have here? The condemnation of God is guaranteed upon the disobedient. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Israel was warned, she rejected, and suffered. At the time that Jeremiah was preaching, Nebuchadnezzar was fixing to invade the land. He had conquered the nations round about. He looked in the liver to determine whether he was going to go to Jerusalem or some other way, and he determined to go to Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar is called in Jeremiah's gospel, he's called the servant of God. And what did he do? The Lord God of heaven used Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to do what? Bring judgment upon his nation of Israel because of their disobedience, because of their refusal to heed unto the Lord God of heaven and to listen to his voice. And some people today, they think, well, that can't ever happen to America. Don't you kid yourself. Don't you kid yourself. Let me ask you a question. What do you think is going to happen if North Korea gets the atomic bomb? What do you think is going to happen if Saddam Hussein gets the atomic bomb? You can rest assured of one thing. They'll be aiming him at the United States of America. Now, why? Because we as a whole, and I make no bones about it, we as a whole are a wicked nation before God. We're like Israel. We've been beloved of God. We've been protected by God. We've been blessed by God above every other nation upon the face of the earth. But like Israel, America's doing the same thing. She's not listening to the voice of God. She's going her own way. And America is heaping up many other gods to serve the Lord, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. How sad it is, and how we need to continually not only face this reality, but then we want to recognize here, you and I have a responsibility. Our responsibility rests upon every one of us. First of all, as a nation, we need to pray for America like never before. Oh, I wish that as many people would have uttered as much prayer for President Bill Clinton than they did in condemning him. Now, you remember that. And always remember right now, there are a lot of so-called Christians today. And what are they doing? They're condemning those in authority over us. You and I have to recognize one thing. God put them there. He put them there. And our responsibility is to do what? Pray for them that the Lord give them wisdom and leadership and guidance. And if they need Christ, to pray for their salvation. And I'll tell you right now, we need to recognize very clearly that we not only pray for them, but then we pray for our nation as a whole, that God will do this. He'll turn us around, because righteousness exalteth the nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. And then we have a responsibility to do this also. We need to pray for our unsaved loved ones and our friends that we come in contact with that don't know Christ. It's our responsibility to pray for them, because only the Lord can bring them to salvation. And as I've said before, I'll say again, there's only one way to be happy. There's only one way to get the glory, and that's through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're 6 years old, you're old enough to be saved. If you're 60, you should have been saved a long time ago. I believe that. And I told the folks up north that when I was up there a week or so ago, and I looked at them, and they had a whole bunch of little kids. In fact, they had more young kids in their congregation than we have the whole congregation. And they were listening, and some of them, you know, like kids grow up under the sound of the gospel, and it doesn't mean anything until really the Lord God of heaven gets a hold of them. And I made this statement. I said, you young folks here today, I said, if you're 6 years old, you're old enough to be saved. If you're 60 years old, you should have been saved a long time ago. And I believe that. And we find very clearly we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And I'll tell you this. Reprobation and damnation of the Lord God of heaven will come if God is refused. And then last of all, Israel is a classic example of God's veracity. Now by that I mean this. When God says something, you can put it down. He means what He says, and He's going to do what He has said He would do. He'll bring judgment upon the ungodly. He'll bring salvation upon the repentant. He will bring judgment and depression and everything else upon an ungodly nation, and He will bless that nation if that nation humbles itself and worships the Lord God of heaven and seeks to follow His way. Now, which way are we going? You and I need to answer that question. Shall we stand?